It's time once again for our weekly Sting Gang podcast with head football coach Bill Maskell here as we talk Mustang football. Glad you could be with us. And Coach Maskell, you need it turned down. Yeah. Sorry about that. Those must have been my headphones last time because everybody gives me a hard time about liking them really loud. Coach, it's good to see you. I'm just curious, after you have had some time and watched the film, what's your impression now of Saturday night? Has it changed from when we talked in the postgame show?
Not really. We gave up too many big plays on defense, cheap plays. You know, the back out of the backfield, running all the way down the field, and gave up some long runs, and you know, we gave up 300 some yards passing, and a total of 579 yards total offense. We didn't tackle very well at all. We were in position a good amount of times. We turned some other in coverages. We turned somebody just wide open where nobody's around him. That's blown coverage, and we've got to do a better job of coaching. We've got to do a better job of understanding what we're trying to coach and get our players to lock in when we do go man coverage. I mean, it's man, I got you. You know, if I can – If we can get a pass rush. We didn't really get a pass rush much during the day.
The one time you did get a pass rush, you got an interception out of it.
Yeah, and that might have been the only time that we got some heat on the guy. But he had all day long to throw the ball, and I'm sure that this outfit we're getting ready to play this week has looked at that tape and said, oh, my gosh, all we got to do is protect the quarterback, and we got an accurate quarterback that can throw. You know, we're gonna have a heyday. I mean, that's what I'd think. Offensively, we just didn't run the ball very well. I thought we had a good job of pass protection. I thought our line did a really good job of pass protection. Quarterbacks were okay. You know, they weren't great. The running backs weren't great. Receivers weren't great. We were just, you know, kind of like we were, that who we are. That's who we are right now. We're just not great. We're just average.
And as you pointed out last week when we talked, just inconsistent.
Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, this week, Monday, we came out in the morning and practiced, and we were done by noon. And, you know, we just got to grow up. I mean, we got to mature. And if we can mature sooner than later, then we have enough talent to be another good football team. But if we linger in maturing, then we're gonna struggle during the course of the year. I think Coach Graf said it, told his offensive linemen during fall camp, you know, we might upset somebody. We might play really, really well one day and upset somebody we're not supposed to win, and then the next game we might get beat by somebody that we're not supposed to get beat to. Right now we don't have an identity. You know, we've got to develop that identity, and a lot of that comes from youth that hasn't played. They might have been around here a while, but they really haven't played. The starting two tackles have never been starting tackles. The center and two guards have. The tight end that started the game Saturday was first time starter. His backup was first time on the field. The third team guy was the first team guy last year. We've just got a lot of guys that haven't played a lot, and a lot of it in the secondary. So while they're trying to grow up, they're trying to understand the system, and sometimes when you're trying to think, you slow down and don't play fast, and I think that's part of where we're at right now.
You opted to play two quarterbacks. Is that what we're going to see all season long, or is that still a competition to see?
Well, I think that, going into the game, I think they both had good preparation. I think Nico was probably a little bit ahead just because he'd been here all spring and he was here all summer. Dylan wasn't here at all during the summer, and he's playing catch-up with a new coach and a little bit of new terminology, but he'd been away from it since last December. So he's been gone 9 months. So he's having to play catch up. And we didn't go as drastic as Michigan, playing one starting last week and one starting this week. But, you know, we told them both that we were going to put, after, depending on where it was, we weren't going to put the second guy in backed up at the two-yard line. That's his first snap. We weren't going to do that. But at the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, the second, third series, we were going to substitute regardless of what the other guy was doing. And I feel like that was the right way to handle that, because now the guy that's starting doesn't have to worry about, are they taking me out because I didn't play well? The guy that's coming in doesn't have to worry about, when am I coming in? Why, you know, what's, you know, all the things that go on with playing in a ball game, and just line up and go be yourself. And, you know, we got off to that first bang eight, and Moore ran away from everybody, and ball was right there, and then we just kept playing catch up, and then we intercept the big pass, and it's 21-14, and then all of a sudden they come down and drive. You know, one of the things that I don't have the play-by-plays right here in front of me, but there was at least four drives of 75 yards or more. In the third quarter last week, we had the ball 1 minute and 49 seconds.
Yep.
I mean, that's...
They kept it for the first 8.5 minutes.
You cannot... I don't care what league you're in or what quarterback you have. Yeah, if you give them the ball in third quarter, minute, say 2 minutes, and they got 13. I mean, that's one drive. And that's all we got, was one set of downs.
And that's both sides of the ball, right? I mean, the defense isn't getting off the field, and the offense isn't converting on third down.
Well, you remember the stats a little better than I do, but I think we were 2 of 10 on third down, and they were for 18%, and they were something for something.
At one time, they were 9 of 12 on third down.
I think they ended up with 72% or 74% on third down.
Yeah,
you know, that's keeping us on the field.
And some of those were 3rd and 20.
Oh yeah, 3rd and 20. I mean, so the 3rd and 20 was, you know, we went to too deep, man under, where everybody's got a man to man, but then we don't have any pressure on the quarterback, and the receiver. It wasn't like he was wide open. The guy was right next to him, but the receiver made a play on the ball, and our DB did not. That was kind of who we were Saturday night.
Do you think you'll play two quarterbacks again this week against Eastern New Mexico?
I think what we'll do is, as we started talking about those two guys, we told them that if one guy got the hot hand, we were going to go with that guy. So, you know, Nico got one possession, and that was probably three and out. And then it's fourth quarter, and there was another long drive in there. I think the last drive was 14 plays, 75 yards.
Yeah, they bridged the third and fourth quarter with another long drive.
And so really wasn't conducive for either quarterback. But Nico did get a couple drives in there and a couple quick scores. And, I think until we – are able to get a clear-cut starter that will roll with two quarterbacks and go with a hot hand. And if one or the other is able to demonstrate that they deserve to be the lone starter, then I think that'll be determined by based on what those guys do.
Does that also tie back into what you were talking about, finding an identity?
Well, I think that helps, yeah. I mean, you know, Dylan was with these guys last year, and, a lot of the same receivers, at least three of them, were here last year with Dylan. In fairness to the other, Nico, then, you know, he was with them all summer. So I think we just got to continue to work harder, get better every rep, and don't be satisfied with where we're at. If we become satisfied, then we're just going to be a mediocre also-ran football team.
Let's dive in a little bit into Eastern New Mexico. We've touched on it a little bit. They've got Kaysen Martin, who is a 6'3 quarterback, a big guy with a big arm, threw the ball really well against New Mexico Highlands, started his collegiate career at North Texas, appeared in a couple of bowl games, played in a state championship game in high school. He's been in some big football games. And this is a completely different Eastern New Mexico team than what we're used to from years past when they were running that flex bone. They can throw the ball. They threw for over 300, and it appeared that they had some balance last week too, running pass.
Yeah, they've got a If you look at the roster, there's probably 20 to 25 new transfers at all positions. They got running back transfer, they got wide receiver transfer, they got DB transfers, they got linebacker transfers. And if you count them all up, first-year guys, there's at least 20 to 25. So they've done a good job of identifying talent. And now that they were able to win the first game in good fashion, they've got guys that are buying into what they're doing and how they're doing it, that team will be ready to play us. I can assure you that.
And you know you've got a target on your back.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, the way we played Saturday.
But you are the defending LSC champions, and
well, we didn't play like that.
You've got a pretty good resume going for you.
That's past. What's right now is current, and current. If I was Eastern New Mexico, I'd be licking my chops and say, man, we can throw the ball against these guys, and all we got to do is move people around a little bit, and they're going to get confused in coverage, and we'll hit the open areas, and a lot of the stuff they do is they got a complete passing tank, but they're going to throw it horizontally as well as vertically, and so they don't have to get the big ball every time.
So it goes back to something you said a minute ago. Your team's going to have to be thoughtful on the football field, it sounds like, Saturday.
I think I'm not sure what you mean by thoughtful, but
they're going to have to show football IQ, that just going out and lining up isn't going to be good enough.
Well, what we told them today, we've got to be able to practice with a purpose. Well, that purpose is to understand what the defense is, what to understand the offense is, what to understand the special teams, and then go do what you have to do within the confines of that offense or defense. And if I do that and get myself in the right position and play hard and play fast, well, we've got a chance against everybody we play. But if we don't get lined up or on defense and we line up the wrong way and go the wrong way on offense, when we're supposed to go left and we go right and we're supposed to motion and we don't get the motion and on and on, all the things that are there, it becomes difficult to be successful immediately. And we don't have any time. We've got to get prepared and ready to play a good football team Saturday night.
I can't tell you how many football coaches have told me over the years you show the most improvement from week one to week two. Do you buy into that?
Yeah. At least on your second ball game, you've seen them on tape. You got an idea what they're doing this year and not what they did last year. And they do have with us as well. So we put a poor product on tape last week, and they're going to see that, and they're going to scheme both sides of the ball schematically to defeat what we put on film. Our goal and job now is to put on a different product this week so that we can be better. I don't think we're there yet. I think we've got another good preparation day tomorrow and walkthrough on Friday and walkthrough Saturday morning. And by Saturday afternoon at noon, we've got to be mentally ready to lock in on the details of the things that we're trying to do.
You mentioned something about last week, the tackling wasn't what you wanted it to be. How do you go about improving that?
Well, you got to tackle, I know their coach last week mentioned to me, how did you handle practice without tackling the guys to the ground? I said, we haven't tackled anybody to the ground. We had two scrimmages. We normally have three. This year we had two. One was for 18 plays with each group, and so we had maybe 72 plays. The other one was maybe 26 to 32 plays with each group. So there's three groups, and not all the time is in that scrimmage. The third scrimmage is mock scrimmage, so it's really more of a run-through of the phones and the chains and the transition from offense, defense, and kicking. But you got to tackle, and the NCAA rules do not allow you to tackle to the ground. I don't know exactly what the rule is, but, we don't tackle to the ground. We do that only once a week, and that's in game day. That's good and bad. If you got great athletes, they'll find a way to get the guy down. If you've got good athletes, then you're going to be good half the time, and you're not going to be so good half the time. And, you know, we were in position to make the tackles. We're leaving our feet too early. We're tackling too low around the ankles. And we just got to be more physical with our tackling. Then we've got to be more physical as an offense and a defense, and we weren't that Saturday at all.
Their head coach, talking about Eastern New Mexico, said after their game Saturday that their defense was fundamentally sound. Is that what you saw on tape looking at the Greyhound defense?
Yeah. Their goal is to push everything outside. They're gonna play with tackles in the A-gaps right next to the center, and then they're going to play with two ends that are head up, but their gap responsibility is inside the tackles. And they're discouraged from running inside and want to go outside, and then they got a linebacker that's running downhill. And so a little bit different than what we've seen, and we've got to be able to capitalize on what we do and compared to what they're doing with that defense.
Saturday night, you're on the road for the first time this year. Is there any approach to that first road game that's different maybe from the road games that are coming up in the future?
Other than the fact that we'll try to room some of those young guys with guys that have been on the road. When we first put the list together 2 weeks ago, I said, let's just do it now. And, you know, if we decide to take this guy off or for whatever reason, then we can always mix match. But let's get a base foundation. Then last week was just roll check, but it was by position. And, you know, we dressed four freshmen last week, and we dressed four or five, maybe six, seven transfers that, you know, their eyes are just like the freshmen are that big. And this week, now it's all different. Now you got to get up, you got to load your bag, you got to take your bag off, put it on the bus, you got to find a seat on the bus. Guys have been going for 4 years. They got the same seat. You might be in that seat, so now all of a sudden they're going to ask you to leave. I mean, it's just a plethora of different stuff. And then you're sitting down for a five-hour drive. You know, we're going to stop in Lubbock and have lunch at a rest area, I think, or a truck stop or something, and then we'll drive over to Portales. And I've got to get a hold of their coach and see what time they're practicing and see how we can get a sweat workout in to kind of get rid of that stiffness in the bus.
I don't want to talk to coaches who have smaller rosters than football, whether it's basketball or soccer. They'll talk about road trips being good for team bonding.
Oh, yeah.
Are you able to do that in football, or is the roster just too large?
No, absolutely. You've got we'll start off Friday morning, and we'll have a breakfast snack, and they'll have a couple meetings, and everybody's loading the bus, and they get on the bus and they can eat their snack, and then most of them will take a nap, and then they'll get up and play their music, and they might play cards, and they might be talking to each other, and some, you know, and we just let them talk. You know, that's the road trips. The distractions are us. At home, you've got everybody. You've got the girlfriends, you've got the parents, you've got the fans, you've got the administration, you got to go to class. You know, on the road, you know, we got to go to 8 o'clock class, and most of our kids don't have an 8 o'clock on Friday. And we're leaving at 9:30, which is 8:30 their time, and that gives us time if there's a bus that breaks down or something happens, and there's always something that happens.
You have to expect the unexpected, right?
And so then, yes, and so we'll make it work. But there's a lot of bonding. And then all of a sudden we get done with practice, and you go back to the motel, and you have dinner, and everybody's hungry. And now they all sit by position, and so they get a chance to talk. And then we've got meetings that we go through, and they get a chance to focus in what they do. And then all of a sudden they get done with their meetings, and we've got Gatorade and cookies, and they get to go back and just really just relax and rest. Then the next morning we start all over again with breakfast, and the kids are all together, and the coaches are all together. And so I think that it's awesome that now this trip there's not much to see or do, but like when we go to Kingsville, we stay on the water. There's a lot of kids never seen the ocean. We do a walkthrough, and the kids can walk on the beach, and we've even had kids go in the water, you know, on Friday night, you know. So that's a good thing, and it's We didn't come about that until about my third or fourth year here, but my first 2 years we stayed inland and we got beat and I didn't like going back. And so we went down to the water and it's an ideal spot. A lot of meeting space, a lot of parking space, a lot of space. And so we've kind of anchored in there the last five or six, seven times that we've gone there, and it's been a good deal. You know, I want to say somebody, not a Division II team, but a Division I team may have traveled to Navy or Army, and they took them on a tour. So if you're able to do some of those things to, if there's a history point or if there's something that's focal to that area that could be resonant to an education, you try to do, include those things.
Eastern New Mexico has one of the newer stadiums in the LSC. It's a stadium I really like. What do you think about the stadium on the campus of Eastern New Mexico?
Well, it's small. It's compact. It makes a lot of noise. You park your bus and you go right to the field house. It might be a two-minute walk, and there are locker rooms on the other side of ours, and it's a small locker room. But I think it's a nice little stadium. If we ever got to the fact of building our own stadium, I would prefer ours be bigger than theirs. But we're not to that point just yet. But it's a nice little stadium.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice environment. We're looking forward to Saturday night and looking forward to see how the Mustangs do. Coach Bill Maskell, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
That's Coach Bill Maskell on the weekly podcast. And we hope you'll join us next week when we once again talk to the head coach of the Midwestern State Mustangs on the Stang Gang Podcast.